The following program is produced in a timeshare agreement with Civic Media. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect those of Civic Media. Enjoy.
Hello, people of the Botanical. We are Ryan and Paul from the Wausau Business Show, here to help Wausaunians. And now my co-host Paul will give a speech. Hello, Wausau. We have heard you on Facebook. We have read your letters to the editors on Wausau Pilot and Review. We have heard from your politicians from District 10. We have watched the leading breaking 6 o'clock Channel 9 news with Melissa Langman and Eric Marotek. Welcome back, Eric. And we are here to let you know that the Wausau Business Show stands with Wausau.
Botanical Garden, formerly known as the Monk Botanical Garden,
right,
has changed its name, as everybody must know by now, in Wausau, in what many feel completely dishonors. They changed the name from Monk Gardens to Wausau Botanic Gardens.
Right.
And many feel that this completely has dishonored the founder and the person that donated the majority of the land, if not all the land, Robert W. Monk.
Right.
And his granddaughter said she was completely, you know, upset, and all this came out. So now the Wausau Botanical Garden, or the Monk Botanical Garden, is going through a complete dumpster fire. This is what a total dumpster fire looks like, Paul.
Right. Maybe a botanical fire. I don't know.
Yeah.
Ryan, you went to one of the top brand strategy grad schools and then worked in the industry for a chapter of your career. What would you tell them?
Yeah, I mean, I had the good fortune and honor of working with Scott Keogh, who was the CEO of Volkswagen and Audi North America, and we were in a group talking to him about brand strategy. So, yeah, I have quite a bit of experience in a chapter of my career in brand strategy and naming, obviously, and so this is odd that this is happening right now.
Right. So what's your opinion?
Well, you know what they say about opinions, Paul.
Yeah.
My opinion, for what it's worth, is that there clearly wasn't, you know, one of the things that we focused on when we dealt with any client was any type of research. Go out on the street and ask anyone. Go into the bars and restaurants and whatever and ask anybody.
Makes sense.
Ask the people that come to your business and survey them. That was critical before we did any recommendations to any client on any brand. And we worked with some major brands, and they wouldn't make any changes without that, and you don't need to spend a lot of money doing that.
Right.
You just need to do some research. And unfortunately, I think that the research element of this decision maybe wasn't done as strongly as it could have, because obviously they would have heard the feedback, no, don't do that.
Well, now they're hearing a lot of feedback.
And they're hearing from Wausau loud and clear now.
Well, what would you do?
Well, I mean, any brand, you know, Henry Ford had that famous quote that I always love, which is Henry Ford saying, if I would have asked people what they wanted, they would have said a faster horse.
Right.
But when we worked on clients, whether it be a hospital or a fast casual restaurant, a car brand or anything, a tequila brand, we would tend to usually give people what they wanted.
Right.
And I mean, there have been thousands of people that have signed this petition now. And from a sample size, this is a passionate group. And hopefully they can raise some money to change the name back.
Right.
Because that's really the only option at this point, honestly.
It seems like the logical choice.
And we invited them on, several people from the board we reached out to and had conversations with. And they, you know, they're kind of talking and spinning themselves in circles, honestly. And I think they're suffering from a little bit of analysis paralysis because they didn't expect this. Obviously,
right?
They didn't have bad intentions. They had good intentions to when they did this, and unfortunately, it's just the cat's out of the bag. And hopefully, they didn't spend a lot of money, you know, on the renaming of the signage and of the website and things like that, because that is pricey. You know, if a company rebrands and redoes all their signage, it costs for some. You know, imagine if Coke rebranded, it would cost them billions of dollars.
Right, right, right.
So hopefully, they didn't invest too much into this. But yeah, my recommendation professionally would be to change the name back.
Well, there it is.
Truly.
Yeah.
Oh, we have some breaking news, Paul.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
This just in. The Leonki Woods and Art Museum, we're hearing, has not decided to change their name.
Oh, thank God.
They're not going with Wausau Art Museum.
Okay, they're going to stick with the traditional name?
Yes.
Okay.
They're sticking with the Leonki Woods and Art Museum.
That is breaking news.
It will not be called the Wausau Museum.
We were on the edge of our seats here in Wausau.
Yeah, so that's breaking news just in.
Wow.
We hope to talk to Woodson granddaughter, Ren Woodson, at some point to get her response.
Good, good.
She's working at Jeopardy in New York City right now.
Oh, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully she'll have a lot to say about the non-name change.
Yes, they are non-changing their name.
Right.
So congratulations to the Woodson family, the Lee family, and the Yankee family.
Yes.
But Paul, name changing is like really difficult and hard, and nobody likes to have their name changed, and it's always usually something that people step back from, honestly.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be responsible, honestly.
No, yeah, it's very difficult. But from a public relations standpoint, you know, not communicating or getting out in front of the news or getting out in front of all of it and staying, you know, siloed isn't helping, which is hard. Tim Parker, in all seriousness, I know we've been a little silly here, but in all seriousness, Tim Parker from the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin is coming in now. And he is the president and CEO of the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin. Tim, what are your thoughts?
Yes, here's my thought process. We all choose to live in the Wausau area for many reasons. Those reasons include the wonderful people we have here, the opportunities this area provides, and its natural beauty. It's really difficult to argue that this region isn't beautiful, and Monk Gardens, of course, is one of those places that's beautiful. It's getting more beautiful every year.
Yeah.
So starting with that, the name change came as a surprise to all of us, but I was surprised at how cruel some people are acting. And because of this, though, I believe a mistake was made, really. Either in changing the name or in communicating about the name change.
Yeah.
Because of the outcry in the community, I know that people are looking at the process and the name to determine if possibly things could have been done better.
Outcry, to say the least.
Yeah. No kidding. But a name change, you know, it takes months for it to develop and be implemented.
So yeah, they've been working on it for a while.
Exactly. Yeah. So if we're reviewing that process, it's going to take time to determine if maybe something could have been done better.
And just to be clear, you're not associated with the Monk Gardens, but the Community Foundation has supported it through donations.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, we are not associated, but we've given grants to Monk Gardens from the beginning. Yeah.
Right.
And we do believe it's a great asset for our community.
As do we.
Yep. You know, but my hope right now is that people will just be kind and just let this process go, and we'll figure out what happened. And in the end,
just a little patience.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And in the end, Wausau does what's right.
Yeah.
Right.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Tim Parker, everybody. Let's get on with the show.
This is the Wausau Business Show.
Wausau works.
Hello, Wausau.
Dive into Wausau's heart with your hosts, Ryan and Paul.
Does that mean I'm stupid?
As they bring you the stories, people, and passion.
You're fine.
Okay.
All right. And make Wausau a community like no other. Your journey through Wausau's soul starts with the Wausau Business Show.
So maybe I'll see you. We can forget all our troubles, forget all our cares, so go downtown. Things will be great when you're downtown. Don't wait a minute more, downtown. Everything's waiting for you. Downtown.
Good morning again, Wausau.
We're still on.
Wow. Again.
Wow.
Episode number 5. I am Ryan.
I'm Paul.
And you're listening to the Wausau Business Show with us. With us.
With us.
With us. With us.
With us.
We're all listening together. Thank you. Today, August Kickbush, Paul.
August?
Uh-huh.
Kick?
Uh-huh.
Bush.
This is going to be wild if this actually works out, what we're planning. We're going to go out on the street for a special experiment dedicated to August Kickbush, okay, who is, as we all know, Wausau's iconic first mayor,
right,
and a business person. So he belongs on the Wausau Business Show.
Absolutely.
We need to test whether our new Wausau Business Show competition, we have a new competition that we're considering for the Wausau Business Show.
That's right.
For Wausonians to compete in.
Yep, we like competition.
To celebrate our first mayor of this beautiful mountainous hometown of Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
All right, what are we going to do?
August Kickbush.
Right.
Well, we're going to do something in August that involves a can.
Okay.
And we're going to kick bush, like, in August. August Kickbush.
Like a can of beer?
But we got to see if it kind of works out. So we need to take the microphone out with the equipment and the cans of, and we're going to compete, you and I, to,
okay,
see if it actually is a viable competition.
All right, let's see who can do it. Who can kick it the furthest, I guess, is what we're doing.
And if it works, we're going to be announcing the first annual August Kickbush competition.
All right.
So, well, that's coming up. $1,500 cash prize to the winning team, plus a major trophy, and we got all details coming up on that.
Plus, we're going to be talking with one of, if not the top musician in Wausau.
I think he's the. You
I
know
think
him.
He's the, too.
You love him. Who is it?
The one and only Brad Emanuel. He's going to talk to us about the business of his full-time music career.
Oh, yeah, he's full-time at that.
Right.
So, it'll be interesting. And, oh, yeah, we're giving away some Lobster Bus tickets, giving them away later in the show. So, 715 9 Wausau, get ready for that.
Speaking of Red Lobster, in the news,
yummy.
We got a call from Channel 9 and they left us a message.
Oh,
WAOW on our answering machine.
Was it Andy Rosgen?
No, let's listen.
Was it Kelly Schultz?
It wasn't. Good throwback, but not Kelly Schultz.
Was it Sean Cronin?
Oh, I wish.
God rest his soul.
Yeah, right, right.
A little known fact about Sean Cronin is that he's the brother of the REO Speedwagon drummer. You knew that, right?
Is it drummer or lead singer?
Is it the lead singer?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I don't. One of the people in REO Speedwagon, who's still alive, I think.
I think he is.
Okay, well, God rest Sean Cronin's soul.
Right.
Yeah, they called. Let's listen.
Uh-huh. Hi, Ryan. This is Viona King of Channel 9 News in Wausau.
Okay.
I was calling about that bus Red Lobster event you guys are hosting. When you get this message, give me a call back at my cell, 412-961. Thank you. Bye.
Well, we'll have to call her back.
Yeah, we got to call her back and make this happen, I guess.
Okay. I guess that's not considered breaking news, but we'll call her back and we'll be on the news.
Yeah.
get the word out there. That'll be fun. It won't be breaking Red Lobster news.
No.
So we can keep that Duff Damos
breaking news
liner in
intro.
The drawer. In the drawer. So it's great. We're getting a lot of momentum for Red Lobster,
right,
once and for all, coming to Wausau, because that's what Wausau wants. We love our local restaurants, but Wausonians clearly want choices.
Yeah, right.
And we're at your service, Wausau.
We're doing the hard work for you.
So the Wausau Business Show is open for business.
Yet again.
Episode number 5. Wow. We'll be right back with Brad Emanuel, who's going to tell us a lot of revealing stuff about his career. And he's also going to debut a brand new song, Paul.
Yes, I heard.
It's dedicated to Wausonians.
Perfect. Aww.
We'll be right back on the Wausau Business Show.
And you're listening to our dad, Ryan.
And this is James.
And I'm Emmy.
And you're listening to our dad, Paul.
On. And the.
No, you say the. Okay.
The.
Wausau Business Show!
The Wausau Business Show.
100% of the proceeds from the Wausau Business Show's following business commercials benefit your community foundation of North Central Wisconsin. For 37 years, your community foundation has granted funds to organizations and projects such as the 400 Block, the Children's Imaginarium, Boys and Girls Club, JoJo's Jungle, and many more to help make our community brighter. Learn more by Googling the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin. And now, our esteemed Wausau Business Show sponsors.
What happens when you bank locally? At Incredible Bank, it means your deposits help us invest in your community. Your deposit dollars provide us with the resources to support the local economy and help spark dreams of growth for businesses like your favorite mom and pop shop or your favorite locally owned restaurant. Banking local provides a return on investment you can see every day in the form of a better, more vibrant community. How incredible is that? So bank local. Bank Incredible. Incredible Bank. Member FDIC.
At Rooterware, we challenge the notion that sophisticated legal practices only exist in major metropolitan areas. Our team chooses to live and work in communities where many people only vacation or pass through. We enjoy a quality of life and have an excellent work-life balance, while still practicing exciting, challenging law in Wausau, Eau Claire, Green Bay, and Wisconsin Rapids. Since 1920, we've been doing what we want and where we want to do it. Find us at rooterware.com.
The Wausau Business Show.
All right, here's a little known fact. The first mayor of Wausau was August Kickbush. Here's a littler known fact. He was mayor twice. Littlest known fact, Kickbush traveled back to Germany in 1867 to enlist 700 German immigrants to Marathon County. So if anyone ever asks you how you'd get more people to move to Wausau, just ask yourself, what would Kickbush do? Because he'd go to Germany and bring back 700 people. That's what he'd do. So I don't know what you're waiting for. Get to Germany. Roastar.com.
The Wausau Business Show with Ryan and Paul.
Let's get down to business. Let's get down to business.
Wandering Wausau to get the beat on the street.
Live, here we are live with Brad Emanuel.
Lots of energy.
He is good. He's got the crowd a buzzing. I mean, he is just up there. Look at him go.
Everyone's playing along. He's
singing.
Oh, how long have you lived here?
6 years.
What's your favorite part about Wausau?
Brad Emanuel.
Brad's great, isn't he?
He is amazing.
Welcome to the heartbeat of Wausau.
The Wausau Business Show.
We're back on the Wausau Business Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brad Emanuel. Get him up. Get him up.
Welcome, Brad.
Welcome to the Wausau Business Show. Good to have you. How long did it take you to get downtown?
I had to drop my dog off for a haircut first. Not my choice.
And is the dog there?
The dog's getting his haircut.
Okay.
So I did that, then I just strolled through town. So 10 minutes.
Oh, 10 minutes. Well, here we go. Get him up. There we go. Drink of choice, Brad?
Yeah, at gigs.
Yeah, sure.
Miller Lite.
And outside of gigs?
Miller Lite.
Okay. Oh, I thought there was maybe going to. I appreciate the distinction.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, where are you from originally, Brad?
Merrill. So a whole 10 minutes away.
Grew up there.
Yeah. Grew up in Merrill. I went to UWGB for a music education major. And about a year in, I decided I didn't want to teach it. I wanted to be it. So I left there and I kind of was still farting around with it at UW Marathon County for about a year. So I'm basically a semester and a half, two semesters away from teaching high school choir. I just never really took it.
You never finished.
Yeah, I didn't really want to. I didn't want to do it. So it was hard to get motivated to do it.
Oh, that's great. And so how long have you been? You graduated from college when?
Had I graduated, it would have been 99.
And did you start as a full-time musician then? No.
I had real jobs for a while, as long as I could. And I didn't start playing music until 2003, I think, somewhere in there.
And what were you doing prior?
Oh, you name it. Whatever I could. I was a pro shop operator at a bowling alley. I used to be able to bowl. I quit.
How many 300s do you have?
I used to be a bowler. Four or five
perfect games.
Yeah. Something like that. It got to the point where I thought it was silly. So I would just start by the last ball. I would just throw it off or do something to try to get a 292 or something. But I got sick of that. And I was a pro shop manager in Merrill and then at Western Lanes.
Okay.
And then I was kind of doing that, bouncing around. And then I started gigging more and more. And as the gigging became a real job. I just backed out of all the other actual jobs.
So the bowling alley was not busy, and then you'd go and bowl and practice? Is that how that would go, or would you bowl?
Well, when I was a kid, yeah. But once I started, bowling's not that hard to figure out. So
I'm horrible at it.
once you kind of figure it out, the practice kind of takes it back. And then it depends on your priorities, too. If you want to keep being great, that's great. You know, my priorities changed, and it wasn't, you know, so.
So then you got more and more gigs, and you slowly became full-time.
Yeah, there was more. When I was first starting out, there was a band in Merrill called the Dukes, and they still occasionally play once in a while. And they'd ask me to sit in with them, and that became kind of my first venture into playing live music. And then I would do that, and I would play just starting playing solo gigs, but I had like 15 songs, you know,
right.
You know, and not very good at guitar either. So I would just do those 15 songs for $20 and beer, you know, uh-huh. or whatever it was.
Yeah, good way to get a beer.
Yeah. And then after the Dukes, I kind of quit them, and I was doing a little more full-time stuff. And then I started doing a band called the Bruins. And we were pretty popular here in the Wausau area early, like around 2010, right around 2010.
Yeah.
Played a lot of bar gigs, and we were busy, but I was still always playing solo. And then once the Bruins were done, I kept going more solo. I'd still have bands just to kind of feed my own hunger about playing with other guys and jamming and all.
Yeah.
But solo was always where it was for me. So it's been a full-time solo gig for about 20 years now. But
were you doing original music? Originally, did you plan on...
I wrote before I knew how to play guitar. So I wrote to stretch, but I knew how to write songs, and I kind of had an idea what song structure would be like, and I had these ideas in my head.
Do you start with the tune or the lyrics?
I'm more of a lyric guy. To me, all songs sound the same.
Right.
So, especially because I'm cynical about it. I've been doing it for a long time, but I can't go, oh, this is a cool melody. I have to have something to write about. Then I'll make the melody work around whatever I feel like writing about.
So. Yeah. And Brad Emanuel's music is on iTunes. If you'd like to hear his original songs. And now, you know, when you graduated from high school, did you think that you were going to be like a chorus high school teacher?
Yeah.
That was your plan?
Yeah.
And you're like, no, I don't want to deal with this.
The guy, I didn't like the attitude at UW Green Bay, that is a little snobby music. I was just a dope from Merrill, Wisconsin coming in here. I didn't have a scholarship or anything. I just knew I could sing.
Yeah.
And I think there was a little bit of this kid is just a singer. He's not he's not a musician. Which was fair.
Yeah, yeah.
I totally was, you know, and I got it. So I just didn't want to teach it. I just didn't want, I had a bad mojo with them and a bad edge. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a bad way. You're just like, try something else. So.
What about Chips? You ever been to Chips in Merrill?
Oh yeah. I don't have the bumper sticker, but I've been to Chips. Yeah.
Great bumper sticker.
This is good.
Yeah, I don't have the sticker.
So now fast forward a number of years later, you're a full-time musician for how many years has it been?
Full-time. Almost 20 now for full-time just music, probably close to 20 years now.
And you are booked out. If we wanted to book you on a Saturday night, when would be the next available date that you would have?
What year is it?
2024.
2025 would be the next time you can get me for a Friday night. A Saturday, you have to look into summer of 2025 to get me.
Look at that.
Wow.
He's basically booked about a year and a half or so out.
Yeah, most popular musician in the area.
I don't know. I think I'm easy to work with. Mm-hmm. I think bars know that. I think people that want me for their kids' graduation party know that. And that comes with experience. That comes with knowing what and knowing how to work with people and just having a better attitude than a punk kid who thinks he's gonna, and I think that's helped me get busy. I feel like I can sing and I can play and I can do all the things, but just having the right attitude has helped me a lot, I think, with that stuff.
We're talking with Brad Emanuel, Wausau, Central Wisconsin's most popular musician, and he takes issue with that. But who do you think is more popular than you, Brad?
I think I'm...
You're being modest.
Okay. I think I'm busiest. I think there's good things about being busy, and I take pride in being busy.
Okay.
I'll put it that way. But there's a fine line with music. Music is subjective. So, there's a fine line with who's good, who likes what, who listens to what.
Sure.
I'll take that I'm the busiest. I'll take that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You're the busiest.
And being busy, just real quick about that. Some venues you play regularly.
Yep.
Do you have a favorite?
Well, my first, what I call my first ever solo gig was at Otto's in Minocqua 20 years ago.
Great place.
And we were probably there.
I still play at Otto's in Minocqua on Thursday nights. When I first started there, I was doing Thursday nights and Sunday nights. But as we've gotten more experience, experienced. Play. It's more fun to play Sunday afternoons.
Okay. Yeah.
For with people, you know, in a little bit older, a little bit more experienced also.
Right.
So I still do the Crazy Thursday Nights, but I've been doing that. That was like my first gig there ever was there. And I like the acoustics in there. I like the clientele in there. Nobody's picking bar fights. Yeah. Everybody's having fun.
We'll be talking about bar fights later.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We'll come back to that.
Yeah. Everybody pick. You guys getting one this weekend?
No. We have some questions.
We're planning to. At Granite Peak, where I've seen you many times, sometimes you're inside, sometimes you're outside. Is that just weather driven? Because the outdoor ones are rocking. I love that.
I love the outside ones too. It is weather driven, but I still think it's weather driven, and then also time of the year. You know, when people start getting antsy and just want to be outside.
Yeah.
So that's more March, April kind of stuff when I'm outside. Yeah.
So you've got thousands of followers on social media now. You were awarded favorite local musician, another distinction that sets you apart from others.
2 years in a row.
Two years in a row by City Pages,
yeah.
Voted on by the people.
Yep.
You have headlined the 400 block how many times?
Twice with like my name, like my band, twice. I've been on the city block with the John Allenberg band.
Yep.
I think the Bruins might have done them back in the day, but I just my own do what I want has been 2 years in a row now.
Headlined 400 block Wednesday night concerts in summer a couple times. You've performed at Hodeg.
I won the Hodeg pickoff regionally twice and then won the big stage. I won the regional ones with different bands and stuff three or four times, but I won the big stage one twice. I think I'm the only guy to ever win it solo. I won it by myself, and then I won it with a full band.
And how do you, at that point, do you open for somebody at Hodeg? Or where is that in the lineup?
I mean, you kind of do, just making it to the finals. You're on the stage, on the big stage Friday with the three other bands that are competing, or four, depending on how many regions they got. And you're competing right before the main act start. So you're a little bit like opening for the big bands.
Yeah.
And then if you win, what they used to, I don't think they do this anymore. What they used to do, which I did back in when I first won in 2013, was the next day they have you perform noon to one before the first act start.
Sure. Okay.
So you're kind of opening then.
Yeah. And there's all the people in the crowd. Is that the biggest crowd you've had?
No. Beef-A-Rama is.
Beef-A-Rama.
We get into Beef-A-Rama. We can get into Beef-A-Rama.
Is Beef-A-Rama bigger crowd than Hodeg?
I play on the Rotary Club stage on the Beef-A-Rama. I don't know if you want to tell people what Beef-A-Rama is.
Oh, Beef-A-Rama. It's a celebration of beef with a parade. Yeah.
It's located in Minocqua.
And celebrity judges. Yeah.
So
they parade the beef down the main street.
Meat and beers.
Yeah. Right.
The big stage is the Rotary Club stage, and they have, I'm lucky enough to have the perfect prime spot where the meat's all done.
Oh,
and there's just enough good feelings in the crowd where I play. I think it's 3 to 5 or something like that. A couple hours set. There's a band right before me and a bigger band right after me. But everybody's in their prime. And you can see on my social media, there's the stage and then there's just people up and down Chicago Street, all the way up, you know, as far as the street goes, where it's blocked off. And I think it's probably the most people I play to for a show. The Hodeg stuff is, you know, there's a lot of people at Hodeg.
Sure.
There's not a lot of people at Hodeg at noon on Saturday.
Oh, right. Okay.
And this time at Beef-A-Rama, the slot you have is a standing time. How'd you lock that down?
I don't know. I think it's being easy to work with, man. Everybody knows Brad. So I do a good job with that time slot.
Yeah.
I don't take breaks like ever at shows. So there's that. I think when people are working with me and they're like, he's going to play for 2 hours.
It's right.
That's a good time to not stop playing. So it's fun. I know everybody out there. And as a matter of fact, last Saturday, I was setting up, and I'm always a little grumpy when I'm getting there setting up. Because I have to move stuff out of the way and everything else. Yeah. I'm just kind of like in my mode, setting everything up. And all of a sudden, the first table right in front of me starts going, hey, I'm like, oh, these guys recognize me from somewhere, which is an awesome feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for them to say what they're. And one of them goes, Beef-A-Rama, Beef-A-Rama, beef. Because last year we started doing that for some stupid reason on the big stage, and we had the entire crowd chanting.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
So this guy remembered that. So that kind of stuff is really cool.
That's really cool.
I've been there at Beef-A-Rama a few times, and one time I heard some people yelling, give me a B, and the crowd goes, B, give me an E, what's that spell? B.
People get loose and have fun there.
Oh, yeah. We started with, you guys started the show with a 3-2-1 drink. We do 3-2-1 moo on Beef-A-Rama. So the whole crowd goes 3-2-1 and the whole crowd goes moo.
Oh, that's great. When is your weekend? When does Brad Emanuel have his weekend?
Right now, you guys are interrupting my weekend, right?
Okay.
No, we appreciate the valued time.
Yeah. No, I take off. I play less in April and I play less in like October. October, okay. November. So I it's up to me. Luckily, I can take time off, and I usually April, May before summer starts, and then October is, you know, it's quiet when to relax. So those are my times where I take it down to maybe a day or two a week or a week off. Something like that.
Do you ever get sick of it?
No. I used to say I never, ever, ever get sick of it. But I still don't get sick of it. I wish I still had the voice to keep going a little bit. Yeah. You know, sometimes as you get older, it's a little, sometimes gets shot, and I just wish I could keep going. So I play less, strategically play less. I don't play six. I mean, in the summertime, in my prime, I was playing 6-7 days a week, nonstop. And I just can't do that. And doubles on Saturdays and doubles on Fridays, stuff like that.
Well, how much do you get a gig?
Money?
Yeah.
I get, from a bar gig, I get $400 for 3 hours. And then I usually get about, in the summertime, I get about that in tips, if not more. In the wintertime, I get a little less than that.
So you're making over six figures doing this.
Yeah. Depends on who you're asking. Well, that's
right. Yeah. Wow.
The IRS listening. Right. Yeah.
Well, what happens if your voice goes out tomorrow? God forbid. What will be your next move?
There's just in my head, I know what I can and can't sing. So if my voice gives out, I know that I can still get through a show unless it's completely shot.
Yeah.
It's completely, the last time I canceled a gig was November of 22. So I know when I cancel gigs. My voice was completely shot. And I woke up and I was like, it's nothing. Nothing's happening. I can just tell. But that can get through gigs.
Yeah.
Like if I blow my voice out the night before, I'm like, well, I can get through.
Yeah.
It's not my A game.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel bad for the people that paid me. But I can get through with Jimmy Buffett and Van Morrison for 3 hours.
And they would never know.
Hopefully. That's the plan.
Yeah.
They would never know.
And you have 500?
Yeah, 500 songs.
In your library?
I think there's more than that. It's probably got that about.
Yeah,
that.
It does.
So back, we were kind of talking about this before we went on air. Back when during COVID, I started doing live streams and stuff. And one of the guys took it upon himself to start writing down the songs for me. And I just gave him the password in my Google Doc. That's the spreadsheet.
Yeah.
And so he just fills it in for me. So there are times where somebody will get it off my website. And I'll be like, when the hell did I ever do that song? But I'll be like, I must have did it during a live stream or something. So
right.
Quick, you know, I've got my phone on a mic stand so I can quick look up a song and just, if I know it, if I've heard it enough, I can play a song. So now with my phone, that 500 is, that's a small estimate.
Can we talk about those 500 songs for a minute? I got a couple questions.
One by one. Let's go through them.
This will take a while. Yeah. Okay. A little distinction here, but a couple of questions. What's your favorite song to play?
My go-to shtick answer at gigs is I hate them all.
Brad Emanuel hates playing music.
Yeah. But that kind of varies. I'll go through it. Like if I have a good voice day, I'll like, I still like playing Bob Seger, You'll Come to Me.
Okay.
I like playing that, but that's a very voice specific. I have to have a good voice to sing that song. Kind of thing. The first song I ever learned how to play is Sister Hazel's All For You. And I don't hate playing that song still to this day. I'll still play that song and get a little grin on my face doing it. I like playing songs that I can see people are reacting good to.
Right.
I like that actually makes me feel good. I don't care what song it is.
Like a sing-along type song?
Yeah, that could be. But there's a lot of times I can just see people getting a good feeling about a song. And that's cool to me, too. So I listen to James Taylor. I listen to a lot of country. I listen to Eric Church. I listen to Kenny Chesney. I listen to lately Jordan Davis on country radio. But playing that stuff is a little different thing. Like, I don't know.
You read my mind, because my follow-up question was going to be, what's your favorite song to listen to? Because I was going to ask if it's different.
It's different. Your Smiling Face by James Taylor is probably my favorite. Cool. All-time favorite song.
Sense a little. I went to your iTunes channel and I sense a little James Taylor inspiration.
Yeah, I get that a lot of my songs. There's just my voice tends to be, if I'm doing my voice, because I think I don't, it's not a conscious decision, but I don't think I'd do my voice in a song. If somebody's asking for Brown Eyed Girl, I think I'd do my best Van Morrison. Like I said, it's a subconscious thing, but I think I do that. So when I'm doing an original song, that's my voice. And I get a lot of times I get my voice as James Taylor-ish when I'm doing that kind of stuff. So
what's the toughest gig you ever did?
Tough gigs are private parties are generally tough.
If people are drinking a little too much?
No, the opposite. They're just
boring. Scary.
Yeah, they're boring. You know, they're not engaged, or they private shows are not. I actually quit doing weddings shortly after COVID. I had a wedding right after COVID, and the wedding was fine. Most weddings are fine. Yeah. Most gigs are fine. I'll take it.
Sure.
But I just was like, why am I doing weddings still? It's actual work.
Right.
I don't want to work. I don't work. A wedding's actual work. Yeah. So those kind of stuff. I mean, worst gigs are those kind of things are the worst.
What about any bar fights or any of that kind of BS?
Oh, there have been plenty of bar fights over the year. I just saw one. 8 days ago, 9 days ago.
Wow.
Yeah. Fresh. Fairly regular thing, I'm assuming.
No, it's not that regular. I think that I take credit for that too. I think that there's a good energy when I'm playing.
Yeah.
And I think that helps.
Nice.
I think that that kind of, you know, everybody's fine. I mean, actually that fight was actually a half hour after it was done. I was tearing down and I was all torn down. I was talking to some people and all of a sudden there was something going on outside. So, and it was well after I was there and a bunch of kids had since come in to the bar after I got done playing. And I think it just got a little stupid.
A lot of control.
Yeah, a little stupid.
What is the, when and if it does happen while you're performing, what's the move that Brad Emanuel does? A fight breaks out in the audience and you're up there.
I usually, if it's, I'll stop playing because I get annoyed with it. And I figured if I've stopped playing, if nobody sees it yet,
right.
You know, the boss, I'll stop playing. Somebody will eventually look up and go, oh, there's a reason he stopped. And right. I'll, if I judge it correctly, I'll say something. Like if I can tell exactly whose fault it was, and I can usually see that too. If it's a busy night and I'm playing a song I've played 5 million times, my mind's elsewhere anywhere.
Yeah, anyway, right.
So I'm watching and I can see a fight happening or about to happen. I'm like, oh, this guy's being
Yeah.
And I can see that and I can just watch it transpire. And then I can call him out too when it happens. And I call him out and I don't think he's going to come after me. I just,
right.
Hey, this guy, you know, make it
right
and get him out of there, you know, kind of thing. So,
how do you, and we're talking with Brad Emanuel, Wausau's number one musician, even though he's reticent to admit
busiest.
how do you schedule your time, Brad, from a business standpoint? You know, what tools do you use? I mean, are you like an Outlook guy or
whatever? Just calendar on my phone.
On your phone.
Yeah.
And what about billing and all that?
I do my own invoices. I don't hire agents to do anything. I figure that's not that hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
That right. might have been for what I do.
Yeah.
That might have been hard to do back before there was the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not that hard to find a bar. And it also comes with, again, doing this for a while. There's only so many bars. I only have so many dates I can go around. I know the bars I like to play at. I know the bars I like to have me play it for them.
Yeah.
So if I have dates open, I know who to contact. I know how to fill it up. So I do that myself. I keep track of the dates myself. I do it all by myself. There's nothing outside. I don't hire anything out to anybody besides the bar actually having to pay me. That's the only, you know.
And when you are headlining at a bar or anywhere, it obviously is a big draw because of the fan base that you've accumulated over the last 20 plus years.
Yeah.
When was the last time you signed an autograph?
I sell hats at gigs and my logo is Wisconsin State with a guitar B on it. I'll get those. So I probably signed an autograph over the summer sometime. I don't know. It may have been after that. Beaverama. I signed some stuff at Beaverama.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Pictures with selfies though. I bet you get that.
Selfies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that happened last gig.
Right.
Selfies, yeah.
And so that's sort of the new version of an autograph.
I think.
The selfie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul, you had a question about how Brad manages his house, I think.
Did I?
I think you wanted to ask him if he had a cleaning lady.
Does Brad Emanuel have a cleaning lady?
No, you're looking at him. The benefit of working my job is that I benefit from my wife is that I have 9 to 5 off.
Right.
Through Friday.
There's no excuse.
There's right.
Pros and cons to that.
So the kitchen is, you know, I'm the cook.
Okay.
I'm the cleaner.
What do you like to cook?
Well, she cleans more than I do, but I clean also. I bounce all over the place, whatever's on sale at this grocery store or whatever I feel like doing. So,
yeah.
Were you scared when you took the jump to do it full time? Was it intimidating?
No, it was almost, gigs back then were intimidating. I don't get nervous anymore at gigs, but gigs back then were for sure intimidating. But even when I first kind of was done at the bowling alley and was kind of like, well, let's just see if I can do this full time and see how it works. It was a little necessity, but a little like I knew what I was going to make.
Yeah.
You know, week to week, I knew that I could get busy and I knew though this
adds up.
You know, yeah, you just do the math and it wasn't that intimidating. Part wasn't anything.
Right.
What do you do for fun? Like people come to see you for fun. What do you do for fun?
I have music. I mean, my studio is fun. I like to sit down. I'll take my son to school and I'll come sit in the studio and just see what happens. You know, if I feel like live streaming, I'll live stream. I feel like writing or messing around or learning a new song or something like that, I'll do that. And I enjoy that. It's fun.
Yeah.
And I have a cabin up in Gleason. And we go to the cabin and I'll go up there and do a little fishing or a little four-wheeling or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
And that's fun. I mean, that gets your music going too. You know, you're all by yourself and stuff. And
yeah. BradEmanuel.com. EmanuEl. If you've never seen Brad perform, it is a lot of fun. There's repertoire. There's not a song that he doesn't know, pretty much. And you can go and have a great time. He gets the audience involved, and he's the busiest and, I like to say, most successful working musician in Wausau. Before you leave, a couple quick last minute housekeeping items. Your thoughts on Marvin from Minocqua?
You know what's funny about Marvin is several things. But one of them, I was just saying this last week. I was in Minocqua for a gig, and I was just saying this. It's funny to think that when I started playing Minocqua, Marvin was the age I am now.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Wow,
and
yeah.
And I looked at him back then going, this old... He looks exactly the same now as he did 20 years ago. And I would do a little less shtick if I were him.
A little less shtick. Yeah.
I have my own things I do too much, and I'm conscious of it, but I would do a little less shtick if I were him. But you know, people like him. It's, yeah. It's his thing.
Yeah.
So if I had a free time, I'd go watch him for a little bit.
Sure.
All right. What about favorite pizza place in Wausau?
A Merrill.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
The pizza shop, which used to be Queenie's and Ron's.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever eat pizza in Wausau anywhere?
If we're going Wausau, yeah, Sam's.
Yeah. Tough to beat.
That is tough to beat.
That's the champ. What does retirement look like, Brad? You said 10 more years you'd like to go.
No, I'm not going to stop, actually. I said that. I said if I get 10 more years, great.
Gotcha.
My plan is not to retire. We have a plan, and it is for my wife to retire, and then I'll just keep doing it in Florida in the winter.
I think that's what Marvin does.
Yes. Yeah. In the summer.
Well, the Marvin model.
Because I don't really work anyway. Exactly. I don't really work anyway. So why would I stop doing something that I actually love so much? Why would I, as long as there's people willing to pay me or at least listen to me, I'll keep doing that.
Well said and good to hear.
And if you had a message for your fans, your groupies, your followers, what would that be?
We'll see you this weekend.
See you this weekend. Paul,
I like that.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brad Emanuel.
Thank you,
Brad.
Thank you
for stopping by, Brad.
Thank you.
That's 715-992-8728. 715-9-WASA. We'll check the messages on our answering machine soon.
The Wausau Business Show.
Discover the Milk Merchant, nestled in downtown Wausau's River West District, where every selection is curated with care and where every bite tells a story. The Milk Merchant brings you an exquisite collection of Wisconsin and imported cheeses, charcuterie boards, specialty foods, and unique home goods. Our love for quality food drives us to support local dairy farmers and artisans. Stop in to sample a selection of the finest Wisconsin cheeses, from Pleasant Ridge Reserve to the legendary 15-year-age cheddar. Mention the SAT for a free wine sample. Let us curate a gift basket perfect for any occasion, or join us in a culinary adventure by signing up for one of our events at themilkmerchant.com.
Hey, this is Daniel. My family and I moved to Wausau from Arkansas.
This is Nolan, and I moved from Washington State. We're with the Pinery Coffee Company here in downtown Wausau at 300 North 3rd Street, or right across from Bull Falls Radio.
At the Pinery, we believe that every cup tells a story of rich flavors, locally roasted beans, and an unwavering commitment to community impact.
Go ahead and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Check us out at thepinerycoffeeco.com, or better yet, come on by.
And now, the newly installed mayor of the city of Wausau, Doug Dinney, with the dramatic reading of the Red Lobster menu.
Lobster lover's dream. Roasted Caribbean rock and Maine lobster tails paired with lobster and shrimp linguine, served with your choice of two sides. As a reminder, every entree comes with two warm cheddar biscuits. As the new mayor of Wausau, I would welcome Red Lobster to our great city.
The Wausau Business Show.
The number one show for and about Wausau. Every Saturday morning, 8 to 9. And available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Alexa. Visit wausaubusiness.com for more details.
Hey, this is Brad Emanuel, and you're listening to my newest cover, my version of Small Town, Wausau.
Well, I was born in Wausau, and I live here in Wausau.
still live in Wausau. And my job is so awesome. It's got so much opportunity. No, I cannot forget where it is that I come from. Cannot forget the people who love me. And I can be myself here in Wausau. People let me be just what I want to be. I seen it all in Wausau. Had myself a ball in Wausau. Married a college girl and brought her to Wausau. And she's Wausau just like me. Well, I was born in Wausau. And I can breathe in Wausau. Yeah, my bed is in Wausau. And that's good enough for me.
From Gulliver's Landing to the grave of Diamond Dave, this is the Wausau Business Show.
It's business time. I don't know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business. It's business time.
Yeah. Take this job and shove it. Working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it.
It's the Wausau Business Show. I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
And here we go. This is the August Kickbush trial and testing.
Let's experiment. Get out there and do it.
We recorded this, as you know, Paul.
Yes, I do.
We recorded this a couple of weeks ago. Let's play a little bit of our testing on whether or not we can actually do this. If it's viable, we're going to try to do it at the 400 block this summer in August. Yep. We can't do it. It's not the his name wasn't June Kickbush.
No, or July, in fact.
Right. We have to do the August Kickbush. Mm-hmm. Where we compete. There'll be many teams of five. You'll be judged on your team spirit and your team theme.
Perhaps costumes.
Costumes. Maybe how you approach the kicking competition. Mm. As you kick your form, we'll
your
have
technique.
Celebrity judges there. Oh, we'll God. Have food trucks. It'll be a wild time celebrating Wausau's 151st birthday. I think anybody can throw a birthday party for Wausau.
Right.
Right? And anybody can
throw
a birthday party for August Kickbush and celebrate August Kickbush. Bush, the first mayor of Wausau.
Yeah.
So this will be a celebration of our mountainous hometown and our very first glorious mayor, August Kickbush.
Glorious.
And we're going to be having teams, and the team that kicks it collectively, the cans, the furthest will win $1,500 in cash.
Right.
And we're hoping to get some pretty cool sponsors to support this all, too. So
let's
listen to how the testing went.
Here we go.
And your six-year-old son joined us.
Yes,
which
a lot
was
of
very
fun.
Nice.
We wanted to see if anyone from any age group could do it.
Here we go.
What's your question?
Why are you kicking a beer can?
For the August Kickbush competition.
Coming up in August.
We have no idea how this is going to work, but I got two different, what are these called?
Tees. Yeah, football tees.
Well, okay. That's ridiculous.
Well,
it's a little bit ridiculous, but it's also really fun.
Yeah. Do you know who August Kickbush was, James?
Yeah.
Who?
Do you want us to tell you?
Yeah.
He was the first mayor of Wausau. His name is August Kickbush.
Knew it!
So we're going to practice for an August Kickbush event, which will take place in August, where we're going to be kicking bush.
Oh, this is a good can of bush. Perfectly unopened, too.
Yeah.
And they have to be unopened, I feel like. Otherwise, it'll make a mess.
We'll try both ways, but I think it has to be unopened.
Yeah. And then we have two different types of tees. And what's this thing under my arm called?
Training tee. Pro kick. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I know what that is. I thought you could.
Yep.
You want to kick a beer. I don't think you have to be 21.
I don't know. To kick a beer? I don't know. That's check a good into the
rules. He's definitely not 21.
I don't think you're old enough to sign the release. Your parents, Paul, your father, will have to sign the release for you.
I am the father, so I guess I could.
Is there a regular Busch that you can buy? Or is there just Busch Light?
Yeah, we got to get the... There is.
There's Busch?
Yeah, this is Busch Light here, but we... Yeah, there's regular Busch.
Okay, we have to use regular Busch.
Yeah, because his name was an August Kickbush Light.
Okay. It was just August Kickbush.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Not Junior or anything.
No,
either,
no.
Right?
Yeah, Light is like Junior. Maybe
Busch Junior?
Yeah. It wasn't August Kick HW Busch, was it?
No, no. But it's spelled exactly the same as his name.
Yeah.
B-U-S-C-H. All right, well, we'll try this. Do we need more than one can, I guess?
Yeah, luckily, they come in 30 packs, okay. So we should be good.
We should just use the standard tea, right?
Probably. Let's start that.
Yeah, we don't need these.
Dad, are you drinking the beer you're supposed to kick?
No, I'm going
to
kick it.
And then you might drink it.
Yeah, perhaps, if it stays intact.
All right, let's give it a go. Do you want to do the honors, Paul?
Sure.
Do you open it when you kick it?
We're coming up with all sorts of rules and regulations for this competition.
It's developing as we speak. Yeah. We don't know.
There's going to be a Teams thing. And
we're testing. It's R&D.
I don't. This is research and development. I don't think it should be open. No, you don't open it and then kick it.
I don't think so. We'll try it.
It might come open when you kick it. And if it does, you're allowed by rules and regulations to then drink and consume it if you're 21 or older.
As long as you're 21 and older, I believe that's part of the rules. We'll get these rules dialed in.
Okay, well, here's the T. Okay. I'm going to give you the T number one to test. Are you going to do it right there? Or should we go on the street?
I think we should go on the street.
Is it legal to go on the street?
I think if you're not driving.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Well, why don't we do it right here?
Okay, right here. Okay.
Straight of the road.
You do the honors because you were a much better athlete in high school at Wausau West.
Can I angle it?
What do you want first?
This one first.
James, do you know where a measuring stick is or some kind of ruler, you know, like a construction laser measuring thing?
That dialed in.
Yeah, maybe we can use one of those. Could you go get it?
We have no idea how far this is going to go. So we don't know the scale on which we'll need a measuring tool.
The wind is against you right now. I know that it's blowing at approximately 15 to 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's going to hurt the distance. We'll see
I don't know.
What's your technique?
I think I'm going to angle it a little bit, but I don't want to angle it too much.
Well, then you might as well stand it on the ground.
I think the elevation of the tee is useful.
It's
okay.
I think.
Do you think that we could use one of those golf distance things? No, one of those things that they put up to their eyes, you know?
Oh, yeah. A scope finder. I think it's called.
On the golf course, you see the serious golfers doing that all the time? Yeah. Any concern about hurting your foot?
Yes, there's some concern about that.
Do you want me to do it with my boots on? Or?
Ooh, maybe you should do it.
Well, I kind of want to compete with you to see who wins.
Let's do it.
Because this is the first time that this has ever happened.
I'm just practicing.
It's not in August, so this doesn't count.
All right, here I go. Ready?
Here we go. Approach. Oh,
it broke.
Right off the side of your foot.
It broke.
Nice approach. And it's definitely squirting beer all over the place.
Let me count it off unofficially with the yardage.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 yards. 13 yards.
So 39 feet.
Approximately that distance. But I noticed that you didn't have a good clean kick.
I didn't. That was
you
my first shot.
You kind of off your side of your foot.
I think you should do it with those boots and you can really kind of what we call toe bash it.
Okay. And these are
toe.
These are Weinbrenner Thorogood steel-toed shoes.
Oh, I love that. I'm a big fan of that company, actually.
Huge. Thorogood. Up in Merrill?
Yeah.
Okay, James, you might hurt your foot in those Crocs.
Yeah,
those should get a
Thorogoods.
Do they make steel-toed shoes for six-year-olds? Okay, is that a fresh can?
That is a fresh can.
This is not... Oh, here it goes.
Oh, very good technique. One, two.
He did the end-over-end technique, which makes it...
7 yards, 21 feet
for the six-year-old, and it didn't break. Maybe extra points for
not breaking
the can?
Yeah, extra credit?
Because
your team?
Yeah, we don't want to waste the beer.
Right.
Although it is just Busch.
It's water.
Definitely got to beat Paul. Are we betting anything on this?
Let's bet a beer.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Here, I got to try.
Did you angle it? We provide various tees. I did angle it ever so slightly. That is a special edition Busch Light right there.
Yeah, speaking of angling, this has a fish on it with an angler.
A fisherman, an angler.
Can you identify that fish? It looks like a crappie or a muskie.
It almost looks like a catfish.
Yeah, it looks like a catfish.
participants can choose their own footwear.
I'd probably go with the Thoroughgood boots from Weinbrenner for me. Yeah.
It is a catfish. It actually says it on the bottom of the can.
It's an artistic rendering.
Is he going to beat 21 yards? That's the question.
Did you go back as far as me?
That's about how many steps I went back, you know, a good 4 steps back.
All right, I'm channeling Chris Jackie right now.
Channeling Chris Jackie, the legendary Packer kicker. Here he goes upon approach, ladies and gentlemen. He's back with the kick. Oh, and he missed it off the side of his foot. It went a total of 1. It's out of bounds, dude. 3, 4, 5 yards for a total of 15 feet. I guess.
Farther than you.
Yeah, I guess I won a beer, guys.
Paul won the official August kick push preliminary competition.
Let me try one more time.
Yeah, give it one more try.
And I'm going to keep it upright and use the bigger tee.
Watch out, James. You're right in the line of fire.
Okay. This is
for you, Mayor Kickbush. Here we go. He's coming in. He's coming in hot.
Oh, he made great contact. Oh, it exploded.
It gave it an extra couple of yards. And it actually boosted it at least 2 to 3 yards.
The explosion boosted it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay.
Count it off.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. That's where mine went. 14, 15
yards.
I beat
you by a couple yards.
Yep. I owe you that beer now.
Okay, so we're even. All right. Well, I think we're learning here.
Yeah.
We don't want to waste any more beer. I think this will work out.
Yeah, I think this is going to be good. And I do like the idea of the explosion. So what happened is it bounced twice, sort of skipped along after it caught some air, bounced twice, cracked itself open, kind of shot out like a firework and propelled an additional 2 to 3 yards.
Yeah, because
impressive.
Of the rocket fuel that right. came out. Okay, so I think we've successfully tested the premise here. Should we go ahead with this festival?
Let's keep it going. Let's do it.
Call it a festival?
August Kick Push Festival. Yeah. First annual
inaugural Wausau Business Show August Kick Push Competition.
Festival.
Yeah.
All right, so it looks like it's going to work out.
I think we got it.
More details on the first annual Wausau Business Show August Kick Push Competition coming soon.
Right.
It clearly will work.
Yes, we got it.
And Wausonians know how to have fun.
And kick the can.
Don't kick the can down the road. Kick bush.
Yes.
One thing I know about Wausonians, they don't kick the can down the road.
All right. We'll be right back to talk about who's coming up on the show next week and Wausau Business Rumors. We'll be right back.
The Wausau Business Show.
The number one show for and about Wausau. Every Saturday morning, 8 to 9. And available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Alexa. Visit WausauBusiness.com for more details.
Hi, this is Mark Craig. Come visit Compass Properties 3rd Street Lifestyle Center. Support locally owned businesses in downtown Wausau. The Pinery, The Chocolate Cafe, Forward Beverage, Polito's Pizza, Lemongrass, Chow, Jimmy John's, Isaac's, Magnolia Soap and Bath, Modern Gents, Campbell Haynes Menswear, Tanya's Bridal, Asian Massage, Reflexology Center, and listen to 98.9 Bull Falls Radio. Shop local at the 3rd Street Lifestyle Center in beautiful downtown Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
Hey folks, this is Charlie Behrens. Our Kripescast is coming up at noon on Bull Falls Radio. Now back to the Wausau Business Show with your cheese curd-brained hosts, Ryan and Paul, served with a nice side of ranch dressing. All right, Wausau, I love you so much. I'll be back soon, and hey, watch for deer, okay? Bye-bye now.
Listening to the Wausau Business Show on 98.9 Bull Falls Radio and on Spotify and Apple. Thank you. Caller number 9 right now to our answer machine gets 2 tickets to the Lobster
Exciting.
Bus, Paul. 17159 Wausau. You can call from anywhere in the world.
What a number.
That'll be happening Thursday, May 16th at 5 p.m. We're going over to the Green Bay location of the Wausau Red Lobster.
Yeah.
So a collection of like-minded, lobster-loving Wausonians will have a good time over there. And you get a commemorative Wausau Business Show Lobster Bus t-shirt
Perfect.
As well.
You and a bib, maybe.
Sign up at WausauBusiness.com. WausauBusiness.com to sign up for that. But caller number 9 right now gets 2 tickets for free.
Wow.
Don't forget Jim Waldron, president of Wausau Tile, will be going off the ski jump this summer.
Is he really
going to
do it?
How far? Will he gracefully bow out? We're going to hold him to it. If we can raise enough money for the Community Foundation of North Central Wisconsin, you can donate for that on wausaubusiness.com. Even $10 would be great.
Yeah.
And then come watch with us the president of Wausau Tile go off the Wausau ski jump.
Launch off the ski jump.
On Lake Wausau this summer. Paul, who do we have on the show next week?
Next week on the show, we have local advertising and marketing legend.
Legend.
Gerald Mortensen will join us to discuss his amazing international career and how he got back to Wausau, Wisconsin, USA, like us.
So until next week, I'm Ryan.
I'm Paul.
And this has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. The end.
You know I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? That you come running to when your little life starts tumbling. I got the money, you've got the honey. Let's cut a deal, let's make a plan. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your man?
This has been a Wausau Business Show transmission. All rights reserviert 2024.